The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
As the Bears get set to leave Bourbonnais, and I know these two guys are excited, we've got one final Bears All Access show here from Olivet Nazarene University. Zach Zaidman with you, along with my co-host, the longest tenured Bear in the history of the Chicago Bears organization, a man who is fighting through a very difficult rib injury. It does not affect his mouth, but it does affect his stance. He's no longer upside down throughout the show. Patrick Manley. How you doing, Pat?
I'm good. We just need to keep our laughing to a minimum because it shakes my ribs a little bit.
I can promise you I'm not going to be funny. But and this is a first. I want to introduce this has never happened. I don't believe I challenge any NFL city to have a show with two long snappers from the same team for a full hour. And that's what we've got here tonight.
And the fact people are actually going to listen.
Yeah, they are going to listen because he's not your average backup long snapper. He's a snapper backer talking about one of the newest Bears, James Anderson. How you doing, James?
Man, I'm doing well. I'm honored to be in the presence of a guy that played with Mike Ditka. I mean, it's amazing.
Ditka? He was there with Hallis.
And he coached me. Yeah, it was great. He was good at both. He was a great player and a great coach. He was great.
You know, he actually was with Ditka pre-mustache. I mean, think about it. I mean,
wow.
You don't see a lot of people
who can say that. Mustache, too.
Did you ever think about just shaving the goatee and going with a Ditka-esque mustache?
Well, yeah, I have, because if you look at, like, all the championship coaches, Quinville, Ditka, Phil Jackson, they all had mustaches. Maybe I could help a little bit.
It's true. And, hey, speaking of Phil Jackson, you have a head coach now who is Phil Jackson-esque in terms of whistling.
Oh, yeah, he's got a great whistle. We were joking the other day. I think he went to whistling camp or something to get it that good.
You know what
it's unbelievable.
You know what I love about the whistling in practice? If you remember, go back to the voluntary minicamp, the first one that you guys had to attend. You know, he would do the whistle, but no one was paying attention because no one was used to it, right?
Yeah. No.
Now, man, he whistles, and he's got, like, two different kinds. He's got the double pinky, mm-hmm. and then sometimes he'll go with the thumb and the index finger. And, man, you guys, bam, just like that, you know what to do.
Hey, we're tuned in now, baby. I'm like, Coach, you eventually, you know, we get going, you've got to get a real whistle.
What's he like as a coach, James, considering the different coaches that you've played for in your career?
You know what? He's definitely the most laid back, like a relaxed coach. He doesn't like to get in your face and scream and go crazy. You'll see him if you don't rage in between periods, so you don't do the small things right. If you don't
raging,
have,
yeah, raging is a big
up about violence. If you don't have up about the violence, you know, you'll see him go off the kilter. But for the most part, he likes to just have a conversation and we can talk things out. So usually you'll see coaches that want to scream and yell and raise their voice, but he's definitely not that guy.
Yeah, Pat, like James, you've also had for your entire career defensive-minded head coaches. This is a departure.
It's going to be a bit different. I think, you know, the emphasis for practice is going to be different. Before with Coach Duran and Wonstadt and Coach Smith, it was kind of all about their defense first. Now it's all offense first. Like, I think this year we'll probably go indoors more often if the weather's bad, just so they can have a crisp practice on offense, where last year and the years prior with Lovey, it didn't matter. We were going to be outside.
How pumped are you about that?
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that, especially in November and December.
James, no matter how long you live in Chicago, and Pat's lived here since the Bears moved from Decatur back in 1921, I think that you never get used to the cold weather. You never get used to it.
No, you don't. That's one reason why I always get out of town January and February after the season. But it's, you're going to – it gets cold, but I think we're going to be indoors a lot, so it won't be too bad.
Yeah, and the reason I made fun of Pat there, he's got the rib injury. He's not going after me.
He can't do anything. He can't even laugh. Even look, every time he laughs, he cringes. Look at this.
And I'm sorry for making you laugh.
No, that's rehab. It's rehab for it. It's rehab.
This guy's bad off
yeah,
right now.
It's rehab.
Back to Trestman. I don't know if you guys see this, you know, when you're in your individual drills, but when there's just a passing drill going on, have you noticed that he lines up as a defensive back? Kind of making rerouting receivers. You gotta love that. What's his technique like?
You know, I don't want to critique his technique because I don't want him to hear this and then come in here and critique my technique. He does a great job, man. You know, every coach has their own little quirk. Like, sometimes you'll see Mel, when he's watching film, he's kind of stepping and using his shoulder. I'm like, Coach, did you hit anybody right there? Like, what's going on? Are you in the play? Even in college, our defensive coordinator would stand behind a 907 drill, and he'll see him taking his steps. I'm like, Coach, are you playing linebacker? Are you playing defensive line? What are you doing here?
Well, do you do that in meetings? Like, if you're in a play, do you lean? Do you find yourself leaning when you're watching tape? You know what I mean?
Like, we watch a film, and I know I hit somebody real good, and they'll play it. I'm like, here come, and I'm just –
Yeah, you do.
It's almost like you play a video game.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
you playing, turn the corner. You just.
I love these little stories. Have you ever been on the field with an NFL coach that maybe is no longer on the team that you're on right now, that you saw something crazy happen to him because he was a little over exuberant on the practice field?
We had Richard Dent in the game in Denver, right? Didn't he? Use his forearm or something.
Yes,
on one of the,
yes.
I don't know how to put it, but he got a little physical as a coach.
Along the sideline.
On the sideline of the game, yeah.
I've seen a coach, break driver's boards, or we had a coach in Carolina. He got excited on the play in practice that the linebacker did, right? And he did the Ryu, Hayukin uppercut. Yeah. where'd that come from, coach?
Now, what's Tressman like? Because I think that, when we watch him, answering questions from the media, he's very different than the guy that we see if you come out to Bourbon A on the practice field, and definitely different than the guy you guys see in the meeting rooms.
Yeah, he's I'll tell you what, the other day he just opened up a little bit. He got a little fiery the other day in his speech. He got going. He got on a roll. So it was good to see that. But he is different. He's fun to play for. He thinks about everybody, gets everybody going, and it covers all his bases. I've never seen a coach that he can follow every detail that everybody's doing, and he doesn't struggle to do it. You know what I mean? It's he knows everything that's going on at practice, and it's not hard on him. He's a brilliant man.
And I think that the thing that stands out to me, at least from the way things were done for the last 9 years, and there's no one right way to do things as a head coach. There are different ways to win, but I think there's much more of an emphasis placed on plays that are going wrong or putting guys in positions where they're not comfortable, having guards pretend to be centers just in case someone gets hurt. There was a drill that we saw the other day where the tight ends are falling on the ball just in case, the ball squirts out. You got receivers coaches just whacking the daylights out of the receivers, to make sure they hold on to the ball. Is that fun or is it different?
Well, the thing you notice is he pays attention to the details. It's the small things that you wouldn't think about because you're trying to get the big picture run that you can sometimes overlook. He makes sure that every single day, every single practice, every single meeting, that those small details some kind of way get covered.
James Anderson is here. So is the co-host, Patrick Manley. When we come back, why on earth was James Anderson doing Patrick Manley's job last week? We'll explain next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 6. When the Bears get a takeaway this season, you will get a free Red's Tavern Double with purchase at Red Robin Restaurant. So watch the Bears game and then visit Red Robin, the home of Tavern Double Tuesday. Along with my co-host Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Sabin. Our special guest for the hour is the new Bear, the snapper backer, more of a linebacker than he is a long snapper, but he's pretty good at that too, James Anderson. And let's get to that. Before we get to why you were so busy last week, let's get to how you got hurt, Patrick Manley.
Oh, I saw it.
It's basically the worst thing that can happen to you on the football field because you know that everybody in the meeting room is going to laugh at you. The whole stadium can see it because it's set up on a kick return.
It's in the open.
Oh, man.
It's the opening kickoff, right?
It's the opening punt. Paulus hit a great ball outside the numbers on the left, and I could feel the guy was going to come across the field, so I tried to cut across the field to cut him off. And, stop laughing. See, I told you. The guy from the backside circled around and just had me in his sights, and I didn't see him at all. You got to get your head on a swivel. That's the first thing. And you have to have field presence, field awareness, or whatever, and I didn't. And I just turned right into him, and he got me. And I think the first thing to hit was my backside and then my head, and then my ribs cracked and all that fun stuff. But, I felt bad. That's what stinks is whenever I get hurt, you feel bad for the backup that he has to go in. But, yeah, it's a funny play now that you look back on it, but he got me pretty good.
But before you got into the game, he gets up because he's so worried about how he looks out there.
Yeah.
So forget about – he starts laughing. You know, first he's looking around like a guy who trips by accident, you know.
He probably started laughing and saw how little the guy was at him.
You know, I know, he lit me up. Well, that's the thing. You laugh because you know everybody's going to laugh at you in meetings. So you're just like, oh, man, this is going to be a funny – you know, you're going to get laughed at.
And then you – so you start laughing.
Yes.
And that's when you realize –
that's when I realized my ribs hurt.
What happened at that point?
It took me about three times to roll up to get up because it hurt so bad. And then the third time I said, you know, come on, just suck it up and get up. And I did. And I knew something was wrong, but it was because I started laughing is why, how I knew it.
And James, you're in the game just, you know, first time in this defense with the Bears as a starting strong side linebacker. You're thinking, all right, I got to concentrate on that. All of a sudden they come to you. It's go time.
Yeah, it's a different feeling. You know, coach is getting to say, you know, James, you got one more series on defense and then you're going to be done. And I'm on the sideline going over defense, and Joe Diasuk say, James, you got a snap. I said, man, stop playing. Y'all joking. Wait, where's Pat? Come on, man. Like, for real. And I was like, no, for real, like, you got a snap, bro. So the first thing I think about is, okay, don't throw it over his head. Oh, don't dribble it back. Oh, God, what's going on? So I started going to get practice snaps, and, you know, you go in the game because I've always been a backup guy. It was a backup in college. Was a backup out in Carolina, but – if you ask me if I ever had one single snap in any kind of live competition, never.
Really? So that was the first time you've ever done it?
First snap going against another team in the history of me ever snapping was in Carolina.
And it happens
that's
to be.
That's pretty impressive.
That's enormous. And then you were able to do it against your old team, too. So they not only they didn't pay you enough.
You know, I heard some – there were some things being said on the field. They were like, James, what are you – you don't snap. What are you doing? Like, get out of here. Like, what, go over there. You playing. Like, get out of here. They were killing me out there.
Were you able to tell them on field goal block, don't touch you?
I said, please don't. I said, please don't hit me. Come on, fool. Don't
hit
me.
Yeah, what's that like? Because probably a lot of people listening right now who have never been through that in an NFL game, like where guys are looking at – I mean, and that's where you make the team on special teams. That's mm-hmm. why that guy gave you the little shot.
Yes. Matt.
That's not fun.
No. Believe me, I had my head on a swivel. John ain't gonna get me.
But then he goes down and he made a tackle.
Yeah, that was impressive. Now you've done that over your career. I mean, you have
made
played.
A tackle.
Yeah.
Yes, I've had. I think I have one.
Yeah.
Now, so we're tied. we're tied right now.
Younger years, I was able to get a few more.
Here comes the test, because if Patrick Manley isn't the best ever to do it, he is among the very best ever in the history of the game. So I know the first thing that you did once you were able to the pain subsided a little bit. I know you watched every one of his snaps.
Oh, I did. I was in the training room, and I was watching, yeah, everyone, and it was spot on. I mean, that's unbelievable. Like he said, he'd never done it in a game before and went in and did what he did. That's lucky us, because, say, knock on wood, that if I ever did get hurt again, that you wouldn't feel worried at all putting him in the game.
Last time that happened, there was a tight end on the Bears, a very popular player in Chicago by the name of Desmond Clark, who had to fill in, but he had a little bit more time to think about it, and it did not go as well for him as it did for you.
Yeah, he was a great practice player, and there was a preseason game I wasn't even going to play, and they didn't want to sign anybody else, so they said Desmond can do it. And the lights came on, and he didn't shine as well as you did. So I felt terrible for him, because that's not his job. He was our starting
right.
tight end.
And yeah, he joked about it that he did more of a short snapping as opposed to long
exactly.
snapping. It was that kind of a day for him. All right, so just from the naked eye as a guy who's on the sideline there for NFL games, I've noticed that – you know, Pat is more of a wrist flicker when it comes to the long snapping. And you, James, it's like you're playing lacrosse. You've got the hand on top of the ball, and you shuffle it back.
Well, he's got the big old gloves on there, so I think that distorts
it
a little bit.
I wore the gloves because I was nervous, so my hands were sweaty, and I didn't want the ball to slip. So I wore the gloves, and I have to tilt my wrist to make sure I can throw a spiral back. If not, it can get kind of wobbly. So I cock my wrist, and I kind of shoot my hands through.
Yeah, he's everybody's got different technique, but he's got really good technique. If you can't throw a ball like a quarterback, you can't long snap, and he can obviously do that.
Yeah, we're actually talking snapping here on Bears All Access.
People
brought
are
to
probably
you.
Tuning out right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, first
so I
ever NFL show where you have two long snappers. But this is actually cool, because I know there are a lot of kids that are probably listening, and you know, there's the differences between the two of you. How did you get first involved in long snapping?
I had a brother that's I have a brother that's 5 years older that went to Notre Dame and came back after his freshman year. And he wanted to learn how to long snap, and we were in the front yard practicing. Or he was practicing, and he threw me the ball. He said, "Here, let's see if you can do it." And it's something that just came natural to me. I bent right over and fired it right back there. Not great, but it's something that I'd worked on and got better at it, and understood that the importance of it from my brother wanting to get on the field at Notre Dame that way.
And you, played for Frank Beamer in college at Virginia Tech. He's renowned as a guy who emphasizes special teams. But you were a linebacker, right? So how did they even know that you had this ability?
Well, you know, just messing around in practice one day, you know, you try to, can you do it? I bet you I can do it better than you. You try to get targets and different things, and I found out that I could do it. And reality speaking, long-term thinking, playing linebacker, you might play 4 to 6 to 8, maybe 10 years if you're really good. Playing snapper, as Pat, you can play like 40 years. So, you know, I was thinking, you know, if I could become a snapper and I get it on film and teams know, they say, well, this guy might not be a starting linebacker. He might be a backup, but he can snap. So that gives you more value.
Yeah, that's big for him, what he did, putting that on tape for other teams. Honestly, when he gets older, that, you know, if he is going to be a backup long or a backup linebacker, yeah, you're the backup long snapper, and they got to keep you because that's definitely an important part of the team.
Yeah, and when you have a 53-man roster, I mean, you got to have value and versatility, and you got
value.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's a big thing. But did the teammates treat you differently on the Bears when you were in there as a linebacker, and then, you know, when the first unit was out and you were just a long snapper, did you get the Manley treatment?
No, you know, the guys did great. They said, James, you're good. We got you. Like, just get the ball back there. We'll take care of everything else.
And does Robbie talk to you as much as he talks to Pat? I mean, constantly yapping, yapping.
Oh,
yapping,
you know,
yapping.
Me and Robbie had the same agent. So we knew each other before I came here. So, you know, since day one, we've been pretty good friends.
He is a very opinionated man. Sometimes in a conversation, you have to listen, even if you don't want to. He's the guy that's talking.
Oh, you have to act like you're listening.
Good stuff. James Anderson, when we come back, and I know Patrick's got these questions too, let's find out a little bit about these rookie linebackers who very nice first impressions by both Jonathan Bostic and Kasim Green. We'll find out what those Bears are made of next with Patrick Manley and James Anderson. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. This week's Bears game against the Chargers is brought to you by United Airlines. The first 25,000 fans entering Soldier Field will receive a Bears United Airlines 2013 magnetic schedule. Bears thank United Airlines for their support as a Hall of Fame partner and for proudly flying the Bears for over 40 years. I'm Zach Zaidman with my co-host Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear, playing hurt today with the rib injury. We're trying not to make the show as funny as usual because stop laughing. We don't want you to get hurt.
Yeah, I'm a giggler.
James Anderson is here as well. And James
is a giggler.
James is flat out funny. You know, we asked James to, we didn't want him to put the Martellus Bennett treatment here because that guy starts talking, everyone starts laughing.
We didn't have to do anything. We just threw a topic out there. Yeah. He just started talking.
That guy has enough personality for everybody.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he's got an opinion, and it's a little different than Robbie Gould, who's got an opinion on anything. But Martellus has an opinion and a funny line about anything and everything that occurs in the world.
Yeah.
Sports or otherwise. Very few people like that around the NFL. All right, so James, you're going to get to play your first game at Soldier Field as a Bear coming up tomorrow. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it definitely is a sight, man, because, you know, I've come here quite a few times as an opposing team. But you can definitely feel the energy, especially when we went up there and practiced last week. You can definitely feel the energy in the stadium and to know that, you know, they'll be cheering for me and not against me. You know, that's a little different feeling.
And it must have been weird in Carolina to have fans cheering against you or booing you. Or?
Well, they actually cheer for me,
did
which is
really?
Kind of different.
They love them down there.
Yeah, actually, you know, I had a lot of people hit me up and say, you know what, you were great in the community. You know, we know you prefer a different team, but, you know, we still want to see you do well. So kudos to Carolina.
We had to escort him off the field after pregame warm-ups back to our locker room because he started to go.
I was confused, yeah, man. They got me turned around. I started going back to the Carolina locker room. James, we're over here. This side.
And you're from there. You're from North Carolina.
Yeah,
right?
I was born in Carolina, raised in Virginia.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's home. This is a big change for you.
Yeah, I knew, you know, going back there and I had to tell very few people that I was coming home right away because I knew I'll have no people here, there, and there. So, but it was good to go home.
Is it weird the way the NFL works now, really since the new CBA, where if you're a veteran player that's established, it almost is as though you have to go someplace else. And it's very rare that a person gets to stay at the place where they called home for so long in the league now, if you're a veteran player who still has ability.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was very fortunate to play there 7 years. And the way the league is starting to be structured is you have your marquee guys, but then if you're a known veteran, you know, either they bring in young guys or they pay their marquee guys and you get stuck in the middle. So that's just the nature of the league nowadays.
Have you enjoyed it here so far? Do you enjoy your summer? I know we talked before we broke that you were looking forward to the Chicago summer.
You know what? Absolutely, man. I went out on the lake. I was out at the beach. I mean, I saw fireworks. I went to Navy Pier. You know, I said, if I'm going to enjoy a summer in Chicago, if you're talking about it, I'm trying to do everything.
I don't think there's a better place, a better city in the country than Chicago in the summer. It's unbelievable. I've loved it here, especially here. Like, everybody asked me, are you going to take a vacation once we're done with our off-season training? I was like, no, I'm going to stay here because this is good. People come here from the summer on their vacation.
You know, what's weird is that so many former Bears, you know, they might go elsewhere. They all come back, and they live in Chicago or in the suburbs of Chicago.
Yeah, that's a great city. It's just, you know, great city, great fans. You definitely need to get out of town every now and then in January and February just to keep your sanity. But other than that, it's a great, great city.
Patrick Manley and James Anderson is our guest here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And before we get to the young linebackers, Pat, in your time here, you've watched, you've seen, let's see, the White Sox win a World Series. You've seen two Blackhawks Stanley Cup championships. And you know the way fans love the Bears. Do you allow yourself to think of what it may be like?
Always. I remember it was 2001 when we won the
13-3
NFC Central. It was the last year of the NFC Central. And seeing the buildings when they put up the Go Bears and all that stuff in the windows. And, you know, before that we weren't very good, so there was fan support. But when you see that when you're winning, it's unbelievable. I can only imagine if this city, we win a world championship. It's the outpour of love that the Blackhawks got and everybody I've seen get. It's just, I think, we'd probably get a little bit more just because it's such a Bears town, and it would be awesome to see that.
He's already got the hockey mullet going, so he's
ready
to go. Yeah, he's not messing around.
I'm hoping some of there to rub off on us.
All right, so tell us a little bit about these young guys, Bostic and Kasim Green, because they were flying around against the Panthers the other night.
Yeah, man, what you see is you have two young guys who have very great ability. Both of those guys are good players. You can see why we brought them here when we did. You can also see that they both have playmaking ability. And it's good to see young guys, especially in the league right now where you need to have some stability to your linebacker core. You bring in two young guys and you got a mix of nice veteran, so you have a very stable core.
Yeah, there's a lot of competition, which usually makes the team better. You know, DJ Williams, as soon as that game ended, boy, the walking boot was off.
Oh, yeah, he saw Bostic get in the interception. He took that boot off so fast. I'm good. Put me in the game, coach.
And more importantly, are they good rookies? Are they,
yeah, man, you know
they
what?
Keep their mouth shut and do their
– You know what? I can't find one negative thing to say. You know what? Yes, I can. Jonathan Bostic.
Oh, here we
all
go.
Right, good. Here's what I was looking
so,
for.
So, all right. So, you know, every now and again, sometimes it gets hot and pads get heavy. So you just say, hey, guys, would you mind helping me carry my pads in?
Yeah.
It's not a hazing thing or whatever. You just ask. You know, if you wouldn't mind, I'm a little tired. Could you help me carry my pads in? And those guys are such great guys. They say, you know what, guys? You guys have put in so many years in the league. We're young. We're fresh. Of course we can help you. And I said, you know what? You guys are great, man. But that was just one day. I was signing autographs, and I look up, and I see Bosick hand the pads to one of the trainers. And I say, guy, you gave the pads to a –
So oh, he's shirking his responsibility.
So basically, he bamboozled me. He told me that he would be more than willing, because of all the stuff that I do for him, to help me with my pads. Man. And then he thinks I turn the corner and he gives my pads away.
So what'd you do?
I just let him know that we knew that he had done that. And to make sure that I would not forget that he had done that.
Well, you guys will do a rookie night, right?
You know what? I don't know what rookie nights mean, but, you know, he has shirked his responsibilities as a rookie, and we know that he's done this.
Pat can tell this story because we're coming up on a break here, but I believe the greatest rookie night dinner prank ever was played by the Bears defensive lineman a year ago.
Yeah, that was pretty – you know it better than I. Who got it? Was it on Shea, right?
Yeah, it was on Shea and Aston Whiteside, who was the other
good
rookie.
Oh, man, that's good.
And
good.
Former Bear Israel Adonijay, they go out to a fancy steakhouse in Chicago, great. You know, Julius Peppers and Henry Bell, all of the D-linemen. And, you know, Israel Adonijay is just smooth. That guy's like, you know, Kofi Annan. He's an ambassador, right? So he walks over to the, you know, the server and kind of whispers something to the server. No one knows what's going on. And Before you know it, they come out. I don't remember the number, but the bill
was big.
The bill was like $10,000.
No, it was $15,000.
Okay, $15,000. Yeah. Right? I remember it was a ridiculous amount.
Yeah, it was
good. So this $15,000 bill comes to the table, and you know, Shea and Aston, their jaws drop, and Shea's scared because he knows Aston doesn't have the money, right? Yeah, so McClellan's the first round pick. But his credit card has a limit, so he can't pay it. So he's calling his wife. And
I didn't know it got that far.
And he's asking her, because we talked to Shea about it right here on Bears All Access. And and he's calling his wife, and he's freaking out because, like, honey, what do I do here? I don't know. It was awesome. And then finally they let it go for about 5-10 minutes.
Finding even more reasons
it was
to
great
be.
Stuff. All right, when we come back, I want to know why you guys don't do anything crazy to the rookies, and you're fairly nice to these guys. That's next with James Anderson and Patrick Manley on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports. Along with my co-host Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zaidman, and the new Bear, James Anderson, is with us for the full hour. You guys are done with Bourbon A. How fun is it to get in the car, drive away, and go back in your real bed, see family members, and just have a little bit more freedom than being stuck in a dorm room every minute that you're not in a meeting room or on a practice field?
Oh, you know what it's like? It's like when you're a kid and you come to the last week of school. And you know, when you go in the last day of school, when the bell rings, you know you're done for the summer. You remember that feeling? It might have been a little while ago, but you remember that feeling?
Yeah.
For some reason, camp is only, what, 2.5 weeks now. It's not what it used to be when we first came in the league. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, last day of camp, that's what you feel like. Practice still stays the same. You're still in really camp when you go back to, you know, Lake Forest. It's still the same kind of schedule. But for some reason, the fact that you can go home to your bed in your own environment, it feels like it's the best thing in the world.
It is. It's like, yeah, you clean out your desk, you clean out your locker, you get your out for school. It is great, but it's nice to get back and get to the familiarity of Hallis Hall, get to hug my wife and kid, and then you get back more into the regular season routine of stuff. So the hours aren't as long. You know, we're up from, what, 7 in the morning till 10 at night.
Yeah.
And we'll still be in training camp mode, but I don't think we'll be there as long. And that's the thing you look forward to, is getting more into, like, the regular season mode, the third preseason game where you're getting ready for the season, you're practicing for the season, you get the regular practice schedule for the week. So that's the big thing you look forward to when you get out of here.
Does it drive you crazy by the end of camp that, you know, there've got to be certain teammates that you're around all the time that you're just like, I don't want to be around this guy when I'm not practicing?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, here, the one thing I noticed about this team is guys aren't like that. You know, guys enjoy being around each other. Now, do we enjoy hitting each other every day and does it start getting chirpy because, you know, you pull my jersey or you hit me a little bit too extra? That's camp. That happens. You know, you have those things happen. But, you know, after practice, guys are, you know, playing dominoes or shooting hoops or playing video games or playing FIFA. All guys are always together.
Yeah, we've got a good team like that. We've had that since I've been here. It's always a team that just likes to hang out with each other. Yeah. It's a nice thing to do. I think that helps you win ball games.
You know, I feel bad for the offense. Because you guys on defense, I mean, you're flying around. Everyone kind of knows what they need to do because they've been in the system for so long. And, you know, it's easier to fit in, I think, on a defense than it is on an offense. And, you know, Tressman's throwing all these things at the offensive players to test them. You know, he wants to make it chaotic. And you can just tell the frustration sometimes. I mean, you got to love it as a defensive player.
Oh, that's great. Oh, when you see the offense start to stutter, you see them make bad decisions or – you know, they don't pick up a blitz and you're screaming like, ooh, we got you. That's a sack. You know, I mean, that's the fun part about ball. When you're making plays, a defense feeds on enthusiasm. Defense feeds on making plays. And the offense has to be precise. They have certain routes. They have certain things to do. And you can – that's why I don't play offense. They can have that. I want to be able to go run and act a fool and play crazy and make plays and talk trash and have fun with the guys I'm doing it with.
I know you never want to leave a place you've been for 7 years, but how excited were you to come here to play – in our defense, with the Bears. Well, it's your defense now. But
when I was a free agent a couple of years ago before Carolina re-signed me, this is one of the teams I wanted to come through because, you know, I played with Julius Peppers. I played with Musa Muhammad. I played with Chris Harris. And then, you know, Rivera Chico came and told us all the stories of how they did in Chicago, all the pranks and the fun. And I was like, you know what? I want to go to Chicago, man. You know, and then when you watch film, you can tell a difference in a defense that enjoys making plays. You know, Lance said something to me the other day. Lance said, I've grown to the point to where I enjoy watching my teammates make plays. Because you might get a pick this play, he might get a sack next play, but then it's going to be my turn. So when you get around guys that enjoy seeing their teammates do well, you have a different kind of defense. It's unselfish, and everybody makes plays because you're cheering for the next guy.
It's fun to watch on the sideline. Just with, when they make a play, they start laughing. You know what I mean? They're high-fiving, they're laughing, they're joking around, and they play hard as can be, but they're having fun while they're doing it. It's not like it's hard work, but it's they smile and laugh. I mean, Lance has got the biggest smile on the field when a play, like you said, when a big play happens or something. It's fun to watch.
What's Lance like in the huddle? Because that's a new role for him now, where he's the main guy. He's the quarterback of the defense.
Well, you know, they kind of chirp out a little bit. They him and Major kind of go back and forth because, you know, Major wants to run everything. He wants to make all the calls. And Lance will make a call. And Major's like, no, I got it, guys. I got it, guys. Over two. Yeah, I got it. So, I mean, you got guys joking around. You got guys, you know, calling games. You got Pep. Pep even talks sometimes.
No way. He does?
You know what? I got here, and Pep has said more words to me in my 8 weeks as a Bear than he did in my 4 years as a Panther.
Did he speak in Carolina either?
He didn't say a word.
Yeah, did he ever stretch in Carolina?
I've never seen a guy stretch a day in my life.
See, that's what everyone says. Yeah. They say he just rolls out of bed, and he can play a game at the highest possible level.
You can't compare any normal human being to Julius Peppers. It's not a fair comparison.
No, that's what's like the trainers. Like, if he gets hurt or something, like, oh, he'll be fine. Give him 5 minutes. He'll be fine. It's like he's Wolverine. He just self – I ain't knock on wood. I don't want to jinx him, but he just self-heals. He's a freak.
The other day in Carolina, and remember, he's coming off that hamstring injury, so he, you know, he's working with the director of rehabilitation, Bobby Slater, good guy. And, you know, Pep's running up and down the field, and I'm telling you, he would have been one of the fastest guys in the conditioning drill with the hammy. I mean, he's ridiculous.
He is.
And I don't even think he was going full speed.
Probably not.
I mean, he covers 10 yards in one step, so it's not fair.
James, when we come back, Pep is an amazing man. When we come back, get ready for this. This is the highest-rated segment of the radio program. You're about to make history.
Going
up against Patrick Manley in what a segment we like to call Are You a Bears Authority?
Let's go next. Let's go.
Manley and Anderson right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. In just a few minutes, both Patrick Manley and James Anderson.
James already started.
John Boston. That's one for the home team.
He is fairly fast, that Jonathan Bostic. Super quick, and he's rubbing off on you. But you can tell we're about to play RU Bears Authority. And I know you guys want to have a quick game because you want to leave and head home here as training camp. The Bourbon A portion, at least, has ended. And you got a big game tomorrow against the Chargers, minus Manti Te'o. All right. Are You a Bears Authority is brought to you by Sports Authority, and here's how we play the game. I ask a question. If you know the answer, you can hit the buzzer. Go ahead, James. And it's going to sound like that. And whoever hits the buzzer first gets a chance to answer the question. If you don't get it right, the other guy gets a chance to answer. It's a best of seven. So whoever has the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, Patrick, you're going to be playing for Amanda Shepard from Chicago. And, James, you're playing for Alex Maester of Chicago.
Let's go, Alex. Get ready, baby.
And if you're listening right now and you want to sign up for a future Are You a Bears Authority game, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. Are you guys ready? This is going to be competitive.
Let's go.
All right, take a deep breath. Pat, do you want
to
test it out?
I'm going to left-handed because of my ribs.
Oh, man.
He's already trying to find a way to get out of it.
There we go.
He beat me because it was my left hand. Oh.
I'm just saying winners never whine. All right, here we go. Question number one. What NFL team did Bears tight end Martellus Bennett... James.
The Cowboys and the Giants.
It is incorrect. What NFL team did Bears tight end Martellus Bennett play for last season?
The Giants.
Correct.
I said the Cowboys and the Giants. Yeah,
he played for two last year?
He didn't play for two last year.
He played for two in his past.
Yeah, but that wasn't the question.
He was drafted by the Cowboys.
You got to wait.
And then play for the Giants.
You are so fast, it's to your disadvantage. Yeah. So Patrick Manley rebounds and takes a 1-0 lead. Again, playing hurt with the left hand. It's like that guy from the Cavaliers.
He got a rebound. Thompson. He didn't even have to hit the buzzer. Y'all cheated.
You should make Pat try to answer every question first then. Question two. Which current Big Ten school did Bears cornerback Zach Bowman play for in college?
Nebraska.
Patrick gets it right and taking a commanding 2-0 lead
over
James. You said
I had to answer first.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't being literal. All right. Take a deep breath. You know.
My ribs aren't hurt.
Hey, a game is 60 minutes. Just remember
that. My ribs aren't hurt. Remember that.
Well, and you did a really nice job long snapping. So let's make it happen here. Question number, because Alex Maester is listening right now, and he's thinking, come on, James, let's go. Question three. Both Tim Jennings and Charles Tillman won NFL Defensive Player of the Month awards last season. Who won it in September, and who won it in October? Patrick.
Let's go with Tim Jennings first and Charles Tillman second.
Oh, man. Patrick is right. And he is, I mean...
on fire.
Listen, if this was a conditioning drill, he is all the way on the other side of the field.
He wouldn't even have to
run. he's going Julius Peppers on you right now. All right. You can come back. Remember, a game is 60 minutes. Question number four. Patrick Manley leads James Anderson 3-0. So right now, Amanda Shepard in Chicago looking really good. Question four. Stephen Paya was born on the island of Vavu in what country? Patrick.
Samoa? American Samoa?
Incorrect. James, you have an opportunity to answer
what
this question.
Country? Vavu?
I hope I'm saying it right.
I've never been there. You might be saying it wrong.
Yeah. I'll spell it for you to make it easier. V-A-V.
Can you use it in a sentence?
And then there's an apostrophe U. And here's how I use it in a sentence. Stephen Paya was born on the island of Vavu in what country?
You got to guess.
The U.S.? Hawaii? United States? Oh.
Incorrect. The answer is Tonga.
He was born in Tonga.
Yeah, he was born in Tonga. And it's a great story that Stephen Paya.
Yeah, he does the haka. We should have known that.
Is he the strongest bear?
It's close.
Right?
Kyle Long's pretty strong.
Yeah, he is strong too.
Yeah, but Paya, what, has the record for bench press in the
record.
Combine?
Yep.
30, well, no, it's more than that. Whatever it is.
I saw him bench like 5 plates without warming up. So.
Yeah, he's a strong dude.
Wow, that's impressive. All right, so it's still a 3-0 lead for Patrick, who technically, I think...
all we can do is tie.
Yeah, so but then we'll go to overtime, which is great. All right, here we go. Question five. How many seasons did Bears linebacker DJ Williams play with the Broncos before he signed with the Bears? James.
9.
Correct. Well, he's back in business. It's a 3-1 lead for right, Patrick Manley over James Anderson.
I got to make it in.
All right. This is another defensive side of the ball question.
Uh-oh.
Question number six. Where did Major Wright play his college ball? Patrick.
University of Florida.
And Patrick Manley has won the game.
Fast hands.
Wow, good job.
Sorry, James.
And going lefty on you. It's okay.
Are you all right?
Next year when you come back on this show, you're going to come back with a vengeance.
He's starting to cry.
Yeah, he is a little upset.
I take pity on the wounded.
I appreciate it.
So congratulations to Amanda Shepard from Chicago. She wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Patrick Manley, because Manley just was quicker to the draw with left hand. You know?
That was the first question that screwed me.
I could go against the new teammates. I'm helped in that.
Just for shoots and giggles, do you want me to give you question seven? Let's see if
absolutely
you can get it right.
Yeah,
all right. Bears rookie offensive lineman Jordan Mills has a cousin that currently plays corner for the Green Bay Packers. They both played at Louisiana Tech. Who is he?
I don't know that one.
Tremont Williams?
Yes, correct.
Read that in the paper.
I
do my research for this.
Yeah,
I think
I think as the co-host, he got the questions prior to.
Everybody claims that, but I've lost two of them.
We're very authentic here on the radio program. Very, very authentic.
We never do that.
When we come back, could you imagine the Bears doing? I don't know. Did you see the picture of Honey Badger? The Cardinal shaved his head off.
Oh yeah.
And he's totally bald now. Could you imagine?
Good for him.
Shave his eyebrows too?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just not right.
No, it's not.
What's the crazy? And I know Tressman doesn't let you do that, and you guys are so mature. You would never do that. You never haze the rookies. But when we come back, in your time in the NFL, what's the worst kind of hazing that you've seen? We'll discuss next. Patrick Manley, James Anderson, Zach Zabin on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on as the Bears break camp here in Bourbonnais. What'd you guys do this morning?
We had a little walkthrough, packed up, and getting the heck out of here.
Patrick Manley, Patrick Manley, James Anderson here on the show. I'm Zach Zaidman as we wrap things up as the Bears get ready to play the Chargers tomorrow night at Soldier Field. And to me, that just means that it's one less preseason game you have to play and 1 week closer to beginning the football that counts.
It's almost real ball time, players.
All right,
it's almost time.
We were talking last segment about hazing, and that's something that the Bears don't do now. But, you know, you can't play in the NFL and be a veteran without having experienced someone doing something wrong with the hazing or being the victim of it. Give me a good story with the Panthers back in the day.
What's your story? What did you have to do?
my rookie year, it's the last part of training camp. They break camp, and I just see all the older linebackers just start laughing. And, you know, I'm clueless. What's going on? They got this chair. They sat it up against the field goal post, and they take me to the chair in the field goal post, pour Gatorade, Powerade, ice water all over me, and then left me there taped up to get myself out.
Who got you out?
I got myself. I had to get myself.
Were you able to get yourself out?
Oh, I was squirming.
No trainer came over later?
Nobody helped me. Oh, weren't allowed to help. Oh, they just kept laughing at me.
Yeah, and but I think that tape is strong.
Yeah, I think they actually got a picture of me in a paper struggling to try to get out of this tape. I mean, I've seen some hilarious pranks, and I've seen some how did you do that pranks. Like, they had a receiver a couple years ago, and those little packages of peanuts, they filled this whole car up with packages of peanuts. Wow.
Like the airplane size?
Yeah, so I don't know how you got in the car to get the peanuts out or what happened when you opened the door, but the whole entire inside of the car was filled with packaging peanuts.
Now, how big was the car? Are we talking an SUV or like a Mini
Cooper? No, it was like a two-door car, but regardless, I mean, how do you get the – what do you do to get all those peanuts out of your car, and how do you move it?
Still got some in there.
He's probably got peanuts stuck in the leather seat somewhere.
That's crazy.
I don't know. We had some things I can't repeat on air. Maybe Peanut, maybe if he ever comes on, can tell his story.
Oh, I heard about
that. I don't want to tell that one. But other than that, we would just make the him get up, name, sign and bonus, and sing a song was what we had made everybody do. But the best part of it was when they'd say their name, somebody in the back, Lance Briggs or Reuben Brown, would yell out, "You don't have a name, rookie.
Your name is Rookie. We did it this year.
Yeah, they would just kill him then, and then judge him on their singing, either, you know, siren them off their chair they're standing on or applaud them. There are some good ones we've had in the past.
Who's the best?
Oh, we had a guy, a lineman named Big Cheese. I forgot his
– Chester Adams.
Yes.
From Georgia.
Yes, Chester. He was so good we made him sing before practice. We used to practice in the stadium out here and made him sing in front of the whole team, in front of the whole stadium. He was singing during stretch.
Wow.
He could sing. He had some pipes.
Man,
I forgot about him. Yeah.
You've seen it all. You've seen guys like – they had a camera with night vision, and it was sneaking your room at night after curfew. And they had the Jason mask on. So you sleep, and they got a camera recording you as a guy checking you with the Jason mask. And their reactions were classic. You see guys swing punches. You see guys scream like girls.
Oh, man.
And, you know, they would make a tape, and the whole team would see who screamed and who fought. Ugh. And if you screamed...
Oh.
If you screamed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we've had a prank here already, but nobody knows who did it. To Kyle Long?
Yes.
Oh, really?
The spider in his bed?
Somebody put a spider in his room.
Oh, I didn't realize that one of you guys did it.
We don't know if somebody did.
They put a tarantula in his bed.
Yeah, no, he took a picture and put it on Twitter, but yes. It's Bourbon A. You know, I feel like those things just roam around.
I bet you every guy was checking their room after that. I checked mine. I looked out of my bed quick, too.
Having some fun here with James Anderson and Patrick Manley. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You know, and by the way, when you mentioned Peanut earlier, Peanut was the victim.
Yes.
It's not something he did.
Yeah.
But there's another story. I'm not going to mention names, but this happened a few years back. There was a prominent Bears player and a prominent Bears assistant coach. And this was around Halloween time. And the Bears player, and you guys would know him, but I'm not going to mention the name. The Bears player, this is a big guy, you know, 6 feet. And he likes to make people laugh, right? So this guy dressed up in a Chewbacca costume, you know, from Star Wars. I mean, Chewbacca, like just, I mean, we're talking like life size.
I can tell who it is already. And,
He knows his Bears.
Oh, yeah. I can tell who it is. All right.
So I guess he had one of his teammates with a video camera, kind of hide behind the bushes of the coach's house. And you know these coaches work a lot of hours because they care.
And he had called the wife to find out when he was coming home, so he scouted out the house and everything, and waited outside and knew exactly when he was coming home.
So the coach drives in, right, parks the car in the driveway, comes out of the garage. And now goes through the little pathway to get to the front door of his house, a beautiful suburban home in Chicago, right? And out of nowhere, this player leaps up out of the bushes in the Chewbacca costume and goes, "Argh!" Right? And this is all on tape. He goes, "Argh!" Right? And all of a sudden, the head coach, you talk about screaming, You would have thought the world was coming to an end for this coach.
You're talking about either fighting or being scared. He was scared. Oh, he screamed like a little girl.
And the other player caught the whole thing on tape, and you guys had it in one of your highlight.
It's shown up many times. It's shown up in many highlight
tapes. We've had guys with train horns in their trucks. They'll hide in their trucks, and a coach walked past, and they'll hit the horn. And the coaches just start running. It's hilarious.
Hey, great stuff, guys. Good luck tomorrow. Pat, don't get hurt watching. Jay, hopefully you and everybody else, you stay healthy in that game against the Chargers. For my producer, Greg Miller, and for Paul Zarango, up those blasts through the speakers, I'm Zach Zaman. For James Anderson and Patrick Manley, Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United.